Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. We are entering week 11. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
Doing okay. A little bit, you know, disappointed this weekend. Some of those big series I was really looking forward to just weren't super competitive. But I mean, there was still good softball played across the country, but it was a lot of the series that we really weren't hyping too much or excited about. But that was probably my only disappointment. I mean, I'm never against having so much softball on, but it was, we were really excited about some of these big series in every conference, and the ones that were supposed to be exciting just really weren't, to be honest. I think a lot of people are already thinking, okay, UCLA, Oklahoma, let's like already like book it, which I think, you know, there's a long way to go, but definitely I would love to see kind of the matched up against just a, like a Rachel Garcia type and see how that is. But that offense, I think it's just, it's a juggernaut. It's ridiculous.
It is. And they're just, I mean, there's just not a hole in that lineup. I mean, and you think they're going to hit a home run every time they're up to bat. It's just, they're impressive to watch. So, I mean, shocker, Oklahoma stays at number one in our top 25 poll. And then we've got UCLA. They stay at number two, and the Bruins went 4-0 on the weekend against Oregon State. Again, Rachel Garcia, Megan Framo, and Holly Acevedo on the mound as well for the Bruins. And then we got that UCF Wichita State game, which Rhi, I don't know if you caught any of those, that series at all, but super impressed with the Shockers and took three from UCF. And then it was tied and they had to get away because of travel. Did you catch any of that?
Yeah. The 0-0, the official tie. I think that was the first in program history for UCF, I believe. And yeah, that was a subtly, you know, with UCF coming off that Florida win midweek, they swept the Gators this year too. It was kind of weird because you're thinking, okay, Florida's in trouble and UCF's on a high. And it was kind of the opposite. Florida goes in and wins two out of three of Bama, and UCF kind of, you know, UCF, we've mentioned it before. I think we've talked, maybe, I don't know if it's on the pod or off, kind of plays to the level of its opponent. When we had Jada Cody on, she mentioned that too. She was actually asking for solutions on what to do to kind of get up for the you know, just the regular conference games, because that's hard for some teams. But Wichita State's a great team too. So it's not like they, you know, they wouldn't have beat them even if they weren't like that. But yeah, UCF, it was good. It was good. Wichita State is, I mean, we've ranked them, but they kind of fly under the radar, I think, for some people. But that whole conference, man, that's a deep, deep conference this year. And not the usual. I mean, usually USF's up there, but it's not even them. It's great to see. That's a fun thing. And yeah, that was a sneaky good series.
Yeah, people are shouting out on Twitter that the conference needs four slots in the tournament. So yeah, we'll see what happens with the selection committee on that. We won't even get into that just yet, as it's just a whole can of worms if we go into the RPI and all that. But we've got, also had the Pac-12, huge win for Arizona State. They were hosting Arizona Wildcats, crosstown rivals, State 48. You know, ASU is just absolutely ruthless on Twitter, their media team. But, you know, Maddie Hackbarth, she put it out there and they backed it up this week. She had a walk-off in that last game. She had a double to walk off and pick up the first conference series win since 2012. But remember, they did drop the second game on Saturday, which in the pack, they're playing four games this year, most of the series, and the first game of the Saturday doubleheader counts towards conference play. Did you catch any of the Arizona State Arizona game?
Yeah, I stayed up for a few of it, like a little bit, not every game because some of them were crossing over. It's hard to keep track of everything. But yeah, you're right. There was a, you know, a lot of smack talk as you do with the rivals, and Arizona State is definitely not afraid to put it out there. And yeah, they did back it up for sure. And I know Mike Candre at Arizona is searching for answers. He's a little bit perplexed by that offense. Just not, you know, coming through in key situations. And their pitching, you know, was hit and miss, Kate, like literally, figuratively. But you know, it's credit to Arizona State, man. They definitely have swag to them, and they're not afraid to showcase it. And it's kind of place of their personalities, right? And I think, you know, the Harper sisters, I think this younger sister kind of, you know, she had the upper hand this weekend. I know Jesse hit one, but pretty much held in check the rest of the series too.
Yeah, and their parents were in the stands, and they had these Harper shirts that had the Arizona A on them, and then the pitchfork for ASU, so supporting both sides. Unfortunately, during that series, one of the their fifth year seniors for Arizona. Alyssa Palomino Cardoza went down on the last play on Saturday with the bases loaded. She hit the base wrong on at first. So just still waiting to hear an update on her. And I believe it's her knee, but yeah, injuries this week. It was a tough weekend for injuries. And then we had another injury in the Bama game. Who else got injured this week, Ree?
Yeah, Claire Jenkins, the shortstop, which, you know, she's senior, graduate senior. And the ruthless part for her is she tore ACL last year. So she, I mean, obviously it wasn't a full season, but she missed that. And this was with the other knee, and she planted the throw and went down and didn't look good. I mean, we kind of know when that stuff happens, it's kind of, you know, you anticipate the, no official word as of taping this podcast, but it, you know, you're always pretty much, just, you know, ligaments are probably involved. She returned to the dugout on crutches, but just hate to see that for anyone, but a kid like her that's already gone through that and, you know, is a graduate senior. And so she, yeah, she and they are lost Bailey Dowling, the freshman, to an ACL tear. So Alabama's had some miserable injury. Not that, you know, everyone goes through them, but theirs has been particularly fierce this year. And even Lexi Kilfoyle, nagging injuries is all they would say. They wouldn't give any specific details, but she was held out of the series. So it was pretty much Montana Fouts and then the rest of the staff, kind of a staff game that next day with Crystal Goodman and Sarah Cornell, but definitely need Lexi healthy for them too. But yeah, it was not a great weekend for Alabama.
Yeah, the Tide have been riddled with injuries, as you said. So this past weekend, that one was tough to see, and you just never want to see a kid get hurt. And those are just always hard to even watch on television. Can't even imagine being there. So wishing the best to both those athletes and hopefully speedy recovery. And we'll keep you up to date on Alyssa Palomino Cardoza as soon as we have more information on that. With that said, we've got an amazing players only segment of the podcast for this week. Ree, who do we have joining us?
Yeah, we've got we're trying to get, show some love to some of the, you know, mid-major pitchers that are really tearing it up this season. There's great ones. Miami of Ohio senior Courtney Vierstra, who's, if you paid attention, she's some perfect games. She had 17 strikeouts this last week. She had like no hitter. She's just crazy right now going with it on a tear. And their team's on quite a roll right now and really, really doing well. So we had her on the pod right after a game, and she was like, I love this. I want to do this. She's all about promoting Miami of Ohio and the new coaching staff there. Education major, really enthusiastic and passionate about, you know, life after softball. So really had fun talking to her, really entertaining. I know everyone's going to enjoy listening to kind of her and her process and how she got to be where she is today.
All right. With that said, we'll head on over to the players only segment of the D1 softball podcast hosted by Brandon Potke.
Hello, I am Rhiannon Potke, and welcome to the D1 Softball Players Only segment of the podcast. This is the part where we give you an inside look at a player's perspective on the field, in the dugout, classroom. They'll take us everywhere to make you feel like you're part of the game. And joining us today for episode number 11, we have Miami of Ohio senior pitcher Courtney Vierstra. Courtney's 14-2 with a 2.05 ERA, 154 strikeouts and 25 walks. Just a few games ago, she had a perfect game. And over the weekend against Buffalo, had a career-high 17 strikeouts. So she's joining us coming off a pretty good stretch here, which is probably one reason we decided to have her on. Miami has won 20 straight games, which matches the school record for consecutive wins. So the team is also having success. Courtney, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's jump on to that. What has been the key to your success this season? First, you individually, and then also the team. What do you feel like has really been the instrumental part of this run you guys are on, and yourself personally?
Yeah, so with the new coaching staff has been awesome. They have brought a lot of knowledge to our team, and just our softball IQ has just elevated to a whole nother level. So I think that's a lot of it. They've kind of provided an environment that has allowed us to thrive, and we're having so much fun. And I think that's a huge part, like just having fun when you play. And, you know, the result is winning, where, you know, we're not having fun because we're winning, we're having fun, therefore we're winning. But yeah, I think for the team, it's just been the knowledge and understanding the game at another level. And for me personally, I think, you know, coming in as a senior, I've had the experience, but this year it was a different kind of experience. You know, in the past we played big schools, you know, Power Five schools, South Carolina, Kentucky, you know, Michigan, and we played all those schools, but I had never gotten the opportunity to be on the mound when we played those schools. So I think coming out this year with as many Power Five schools as we played in the preseason, kind of allowed me personally, like, kind of get my nerves out, cause I hadn't been in that position. So I think with, you know, with the experience and that the environment the coaches have provided has allowed me to be a lot more confident, and I'm confident in, you know, my teammates who have my back no matter what. So.
That's awesome. It sounds like you've really kind of evolved over your career as a pitcher. Do you feel like this season, do you feel like it's all kind of coming together, and then with the new coaching staff was kind of the finishing touches for that?
Yeah, definitely. And our pitching coach, Coach Brandon, he's awesome. He's definitely, I haven't had a pitching coach like him before, and he provides a very positive environment. Especially since, like, for me personally, I'm very hard on myself. So to have him there, you know, showing the positives and everything, it's kind of like, okay, it really wasn't that as bad as I thought it was, you know? And, I just think the environment has been huge, huge.
Where do you see in terms of, you know, yourself as a pitcher, what do you consider maybe your best pitch or the pitch that you feel like is really working for you, especially this season?
Probably rise ball. You know, I've never in high school, I threw hard. Like I just threw hard. And, you know, when you get to college, you can't just throw hard. You can't get away with just throwing hard. So once I got to college, I developed spin and finally, you know, last year I felt like I was getting it, you know, I felt confident in every pitch. So yeah, I'd say, and then this fall I mastered that pitch, and that's probably been, you know, the best thing for me personally, especially with, just in general, I the value of that pitch is insane. So.
Do you have, like, you know, pre-start, do you go through a particular routine? Is there stuff that you do regularly? We always try to get the process here on this podcast.
So I'm, you know, I know, like, a lot of pitchers have their, you know, certain, their thing. I'm kind of more laid back, and I don't necessarily have a routine, I guess, pre-game. It just kind of is how I feel. Like, if I feel good one day, it's going to be shorter. If I don't feel as good, I'm going to throw a little bit longer. And, I mean, it's more so for me once I get out there, you know, in between pitches, just making sure, like, I've spent a lot of time on the mental game, this fall, and I underappreciated it, I guess, in the past. I just didn't realize how important it was. And so that's something I've worked a lot on, and having a routine, in between pitches. And that way I can just, you know, center myself, last pitch is gone, turn around, next pitch type thing.
Yeah, that's huge. That's something that, you know, comes with age too. I mean, you can tell people, and it does come with age and experience, you know, and the mental part is, especially for a pitcher. I mean, mm-hmm. It always gives me the composure of some pitchers in the circle, like how they can just keep that straight face, you know? Mm-hmm. Give us an idea. How did you get to Miami of Ohio? How was that, you know, determined that that was this program you wanted to play for?
Yeah. So, I'm from Ohio. So I'm from a small town in Ohio, and I knew I didn't want to go super far from home, and I'm kind of homebody. And I wanted my parents to be able to come to games, and I wanted to go to a program, like a level that I knew that I could play and contribute to all 4 years. That was really important to me. And so actually I had it down to Marshall and Miami were my final two. And I knew that I wanted to be an education major. So I looked into, you know, Miami's program and everything, and they have one of the best education programs in the state, at least. And academics are really important to me. And so that was honestly like a really, really big part. That's kind of how I made my decision. But I just, the campus is beautiful. It's a small town. I mean, it's a college town. And I'm from a small town, so it kind of, I knew I'd feel comfortable, at least in that sense, coming here. And it's the demand of excellence throughout this university, not just athletics, but just the university in general, that kind of drew me to it. And the people here are just different. Everybody's saying hi to you. It doesn't matter if they know you, if they don't. It's just a very welcoming environment. And it was, no matter what other visits I went on, I was like, I had Miami. I was comparing everything to Miami in the back of my head. Just, I guess, a lot of different things, but.
Yeah. And I was going to ask that later, but let's get right to it. I mean, the education part obviously is key. What are your career aspirations beyond softball? Once you're done playing, what is your life goals here?
So I originally, I was in like sixth grade, wanted to be a teacher. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I wanted to be a teacher, and I love kids. I love seeing them grow, I guess. Even through sports, I love working with kids. And once the light, once it clicks, you see that light bulb go off and they're like, oh my gosh. And to me, like, that's the best feeling ever. So originally, and up until really until COVID, I was like, yeah, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a teacher. But the one good thing to come out of COVID was I get an extra year, and I'm doing my, I'm completing my master's degree right now, along with my undergraduate. And I really wanted to work with athletes, but I also wanted to, somehow include the academics. So I started talking to our academic advisor, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is what I want to do. I want to work with, collegiate student athletes, and be an academic advisor. And I'd like to do it at Ohio State, because my mom went to Ohio State, like, we're big Buckeye fans, so that's kind of the end goal.
Wow. That's awesome. So silver linings in the pandemic, but it does seem like that would be a natural segue for you. Like, it seems like you can tell you're very passionate. Your eyes light up when you talk about it.
Yeah.
That's when someone's found what they really want. That's great.
Yeah.
Obviously there's a few academic advisors that I know around the country that were former softball players, and, helping, they've been in the shoes. They can, mm-hmm. they know exactly the stuff. So that's awesome. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you came out of a small town, but you were a multi-sport star in high school over there at Lakewood High in Hebron, Ohio. Basketball, volleyball, and softball. So tell us, was it hard to give up basketball and volleyball? How long were those parts of your life?
So I did a little backstory. I did gymnastics for a little, while I was younger, up until I was like 7, we're starting to do the back handsprings and all that crazy stuff. And I was always the tallest one, gymnasts are shorter, stronger. Like, I was always this huge, little girl with all these other girls. And that's when I started, I tried volleyball, basketball, and softball kind of all in that year. And I'm like, yeah, gymnastics is not my thing, not my forte. But yeah, I've been playing volleyball and basketball and softball since I was, 7, 8, around there, and loved them all. And then once it got to middle school, I did some club volleyball at a little bit more competitive level and tried that out. Didn't love it as much as I still love softball, and then basketball was probably the hardest one to give up. I loved basketball. And it's funny because, I was the type of person in middle school who was still growing and I would trip over my own feet all the time, dribble the ball off my foot. They're like, we just want you on the block to do post moves, But once I got to high school, I had a little bit more coordination, and they're like, well, we want you to be able to handle the ball too. And I'm like, okay. So kind of played every position in basketball, from point guard to forward to power forward to post, you know, whatever. And that sport I probably loved the most, just because you're always going, and you didn't do well in offense. You had defense. It was just there, you know, you're always moving, doing something. And I just loved the energy level you had to play at, I guess, which is funny because softball's like a lot different for, at least for me. And I had thought about in high school playing college basketball. Like I was, you know, I had to sit down, have a serious conversation, like with my parents and with my high school basketball coach. And I was like, you know what though? Like I wasn't as talented at basketball as it was softball. So softball, I thought about doing AAU basketball, but then I was like, it's just too much with travel softball. And I'm already doing travel softball and volleyball, then basketball, then softball season for school. So it was a lot. But basketball is definitely the one I miss the most, probably.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. I can see you being, you were putting up some good numbers. I was looking at some of those stats. You were putting it up, you know, and I'm sure
yeah.
pretty good. Now you obviously entered softball. How did you become a pitcher? How did that develop?
So, I had me and one of my best friends, she actually plays at Kent, Brenna Brownfield. Me and her were pitchers, when we were younger, and we always competed and, like, you know, had fun with it. 'Cause we were young, we didn't know any better and we loved it. And then, someone, you know, had told me that, oh, well, you'll make a really good first baseman. And, you know, I was like, no, I want to be a pitcher. Like, because I knew that was a jab at like me not being, you know, not pitching. And ever since then, I kind of used that as motivation. And, you know, when I was younger, I didn't throw hard. I was just consistent, hit my spots. And then I got better, threw harder. And I loved it. Like I loved being the one, you know, in control. And it's like a mini like game within the game. And I love the challenge, and I never really enjoyed hitting that much. I loved, and you know, as a pitcher, I didn't necessarily have to hit. So, but yeah, like ever since then, I just use that as motivation. And my kind of motto is just like proving people wrong. Like as soon as someone doesn't think I'm good enough, okay, well, I'll prove to you that I am good enough or better than you think I even am. And so, I think that's why I like softball the most. It was a constant like competition between me and the batter. And, I love the pitching. I love the challenge. It was hard and I liked it.
Yeah. Well, so make sure we don't have any bulletin board material from any of your opponents, apparently, because that might wonder, you know, that might have you a little bit more incentive to try to stay away from that if you're there. Now did you look up to any, or did you, you know, in terms of other players or pitchers that you kind of, you know, maybe tried to model your style after that you really respect and admired as they were players?
I absolutely love Jenny Finch. And you know, the windmill thing that had come out when I was younger, like I thought that was the coolest thing ever. We had it in our garage and I did it all the time. And, yeah, she was like my idol, you know, she was tall. Like I'm tall. Like she was tall. I'm like, okay. Like she's like awesome. Like I aspired to be her. And then, I think I was in middle school or high school when her book came out, Throw Like a Girl, read that, loved it. Just, you know, she really broke it down outside of softball too. And just like the relationships and, you know, with her and her dad and with other players and things like that. And not only was she a good player, but she was a really good person. And that's the other reason why she just inspired me, because she was awesome on and off the field. So
that's awesome to hear. It's, you know, mm-hmm. I remember having some books like that too, when you were a kid, yeah. Like every word you're like, you know,
yeah, you're like, oh my gosh.
This I know, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of like to have, you know, some fun stuff here. We talk softball a lot in this podcast, but we'd like to get to know you as a whole person. I know there's not much time outside of softball, especially when you're in Division I college, but what's maybe something someone may not know about you, or something that you like to do in your spare time that's not, you know, sports related or, you know, homework or anything?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm a big family person. Me and my younger brother are really close and honestly spend a lot of time with him. And we live literally in the middle of nowhere, cornfields and I mean, cornfields on both sides of our yards. It's, my neighbors aren't very close to me. So, four wheelers, shooting, anything that involves the outdoors, really. Yeah. Other than that, I do a lot of softball, but that's probably honestly like a lot that I do, especially in the summer, because it's nice and that's, you know, my quote unquote break.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything, boating, love, like, because we're really close to my grandma lives on the lake. So go out on the lake a lot, just things like that. So.
Man, you can't get better than summer corn either, man. So
yeah. Well, that's the thing though. Sometimes they alternate from corn and beans.
Oh yeah.
So when it's corn, it's nice, but I'm not a big bean person. So when they're beans, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I used to visit a grandma that lived in Pennsylvania. So, you know, neighboring.
Okay.
We'd always plant the potatoes in the summer and then pick the corn and like fresh corn on top. You just like right.
So good.
Corn. So good.
Yes.
Now, did you guys, do your family own cornfields or is it just surrounding you?
They're on our property, but it's like sharecropping in a way. So the guy that lives closest to us is a farmer. And so he, farms all that. And we just, I mean, we get to ride our four wheelers around it. Yes. So we're like, okay.
Like, good deal for me, man.
Yeah, we're good with it.
Corn. They probably throw you a few things of corn.
Yeah, oh yeah. Sometimes we feed it to the deer too, depending on like if it's deer season, we'll throw it by the deer feeder and yeah.
Love it. I love the outdoor stuff. So you know, softball players, I cover all sports and I tend to, the softball girls are usually a bit more outdoorsy, some of them. Not, you know, it's not a stereotype, but like a lot of them like the outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hunting.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Well, this is, you've given us so much of your time and we could talk to you forever. You're great. You can tell that you're going to make a really good, you can tell you like to work with kids too. You're very, you know, good talker. It's kind of end on a fun question. When you were a kid, what was maybe your favorite TV show or what was one that you like, you know, raced home or when you stayed home from school, like that was the one you were like.
Okay. So this is really like nerding out. But I like Pokemon. When the show Pokemon was on, really? Me and my brother, we'd wake up in the morning, like not necessarily like we didn't care too much about breakfast. Like we were focused on Pokemon on the TV, which was like a cartoon. And then me and my brother like played the game like on our DSs, you know, like that was, yeah, nerding out right there. But that was probably my favorite.
That's okay, man. We're all about it. How about now? What's your go-to show or what's one that you've really, maybe you binge because of quarantine or I know you had outdoors to be at, which is nice.
But yeah. Oh, I definitely like my Netflix and Hulu though. probably Modern Family. I had never seen it. So I am like watching it now. Hilarious. I have to say. So
I'm like you, I find shows like 5 years after everyone else. And I'm like, they're like, what? I'm like, this is, have you seen this? And they're like, dude, like, where have you been? Like, great. And I'm like, okay. Usually I know because I read all that stuff. And then I catch up like 5 years later and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to watch this.
Modern Family,
awesome.
Yes. Or Friends. I mean, it's off Netflix and stuff now, but I love Friends.
That was when I was in high school. It was Friends and ER. Like, and this was before like streaming. So you had to like literally race home and like, that 9 to 10 window. And you maybe could tape it on VHS tapes, but like you really had to. So after basketball games or practices, I was like, TV for Friends. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad.
That's the real struggle.
Yeah. I'm glad your generation can catch up on all these classics.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. Well, this is great. You're a pleasure to speak with. This is really, really fun. And I, you know, hopefully we can have you back. I mean, I feel like we're going to have every guest on one big Zoom call at the end of the year where all of you are popping up and we can all talk because this has been really fun, the Players Only podcast. But everyone out there that's listening to this, make sure you download and subscribe to the D1 Softball Podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you rate and review so we can have Courtney on more, because every time we get ratings, we can have more guests like her. And then subscribe to D1Softball.com, because we get articles where we've mentioned your name a lot. We've mentioned, I think there'll be one up on the site this week, having a few nuggets about you and the team in there. Mac action coming. Maction for the softball side of it. And we got all your stats on that page too. So D1 Softball's got your stats, your team stats, everything. So again, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and good luck the rest of the season. We'll be watching out. We'll hope that win streak can stretch beyond 20 and keep building on that record.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
My favorite segment, part of the podcast, hearing straight from the players. Great to have Courtney on, and love giving some love to the mid-majors.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, just hearing about, you know, how she got into softball and just her aspirations beyond softball. And, you know, it's really that new coaching staff's had a huge difference, and she's really excited about what they've done and brought out in her. And it shows you, man, like you just, you know, when it all comes together and you put in the time and then everything coalesces, right. You can have a season like she's having. So, and an outdoorsy girl, man, she's all about, like, she lives in the cornfield, she said. So she's all about eating that sweet corn and riding ATVs and hunting and fishing. So props to her, but make sure you try to check out a game, Miami of Ohio, if you can get one, man. It's everything streams now. So check her out, 'cause she's legit.
Yeah. It's always great to hear the other stuff other than softball, which makes these girls, you know, what makes them tick. I mean, we love the softball aspect, but just to getting to know them as people has been super special. And Ree, you do a great job just showcasing that. With that said, we're going to preview the games to watch this week. We've got some midweekers that are, you know, surprising when they come up on the schedule. I'm like, oh my goodness, we've got OU and Georgia on Tuesday night, and then we've got another special series on Wednesday. What do you got, Ree?
Yeah, the OU, it's a doubleheader too, which is, we got two down in at the Jack, man. That's pretty good. Midweek too, Wednesday, then we can follow by Clemson, South Carolina, the first meeting between those in-state rivals in program history, because obviously Clemson is 1 year and a half old, because we count last season as a half season. So yeah, that's a good one. If you haven't checked out Valerie Cagle yet, man, check her out, because up on our site too, if you want to read more about her and have a notebook up with the ACC notebook, just all about her. She's coming off two no-hitters, or, you know, she had two against last week separate, you know, one
in a week.
Yeah, you know, like a few days apart, which was crazy. It's just not surprising though. I mean, but the thing is, like, pitching's just like a fourth of what she does. Like, if she didn't pitch, she'd still be out. So she's a really, like, I know head coach John Rittman, when I spoke with him about her, just the ultimate five tool player. And she's fun to watch, man. And she's very humble and self, you know, soft spoken, but man, when she gets on the field, it's crazy.
So those are the midweek games. And then heading into the weekend, we've got a big series in the PAC. Washington is coming down to play UCLA, Gabby Plain, Rachel Garcia, and then both of those offenses will go head to head. So we're watching that here in the pack. And then Michigan Northwestern in the Big Ten, another big series to keep an eye on in the Big Ten. Bobian and Stratko against Danielle Williams there at Northwestern. So that is a huge series in the Big Ten. Anything else, Ree, that you've got your eye on this weekend in terms of games?
There's, you know, I know they're coming off a series loss, but Alabama plays Louisiana, a non-conference between, and Louisiana's on a roll right now. And, you know, they always, obviously they have that stacked lineup, and, you know, Summer Ellison, Sierra Bryan, who will be familiar with Alabama from her SEC days at Georgia. But yeah, I know Bama's, like, you know, obviously they'd rather come off, you know, a win against Florida. They dropped 2-3, but that's still, for me, going to be a really good series. I think that's going to, you know, and that's huge for Louisiana and their RPI. Raging Cajuns really want to get some of those games under their belt so they can boost their status too. They just, you know, they took a series from Texas State this weekend, and then they beat Troy last weekend. So that's another really, really sneaky good conference race right there that we should be paying a little bit of attention to, the Sun Belt, Fun Belt. So, Yeah,
Texas State got a few hits, but keep an eye on them. They're still a good little team. They just dropped out of the top 25 this week, but keep an eye on them because, like you said, that Sun Belt is a conference to watch. With that, I think that's all we got for the week, unless, Ree, you've got anything else to add.
No, my head is spinning, man. There's so much good stuff all the time that I always feel like I know we're leaving out like 90% of things we could talk. We could have like a 2-hour podcast and talk about all the games and things. It's coming down to the end. You know, I another thing I'm just going to mention it. It's going to be in the SEC notebook. Arkansas, you know, they have 6 games away from an SEC championship. They're in first place by a game in the loss column over Florida. Never won an SEC title before in the program history. They got 6 games left to get that done and stay ahead of Florida. So that, and they've had a special season already. So that's just keep an eye on the Razorbacks because they keep, you know, they're consistently, man, that home run production and the great pitching. They've just got a really complete team. So it'll be special if they can hold on and get that first SEC title.
I think that's it for week 11 here on the D1 Softball Podcast.
That is it. That's a lot of good stuff, man.
We've got a lot. Well, we'll see you next week.